this song. Love, well, he lifted me. I was fixing to say love lifted me. He lifted me. Page 509. John requested that song. You remember you requested that a while back, and what a great song that is. He lifted me. And can I call on you to pray for us, if you don't mind, please?
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather all believers and people who love you. Father, we thank you for the message that we're going to hear today. We ask you that we take it to heart and apply it in our daily lives.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. It's good to be here this morning, and hope everyone's had a wonderful week. It's, we are just truly blessed. I know I had a blessed week, and it's just good to be back in the house of the Lord. Revival starts. We're going to start it tonight. We're actually going to start today.
That's long.
Thank you. We're going to start it today. But anyhow, I've been looking forward to it, and I hope you've been praying about revival, because we're going to have a... We just pray that lives will be changed, and I need revival. I do need revival, and I've definitely been praying for that. But we got a prayer request. It's here today. Deb is here, and certainly been praying for you. We're going to continue praying for you and lift you up in prayer. And thank you so much for being here. Anyone else you'll lift up in prayer this morning?
Don't forget Linda and Phil will be getting home today.
Yes. They are going to the mountains, and I know they've had a wonderful time. And we definitely miss them when they're not here. But I know that they're together and just with the family, and I know that's a great time for them.
By the way, I like for everybody to remember Sister Pam. She's a perfect example of Scripture when it says one digit hurts, the whole body hurts. And I would like everybody to pray that she heals quickly, but at the same time that there be something in the house that she don't bump that finger into. But seriously, remember her when she goes back from the doctor and remember her way down.
Wouldn't have to do that, ma'am. Anyone else who lift anyone up in prayer this morning?
Brother Lane, I talked to the church and remember the Buds family. Yes. Rhonda Harper's dad passed away. They'll have his funeral this afternoon. He lived 7 months and 7 minutes after her mama died. That's what she called me last.
Wow.
So they're together again. They're with the Lord. So Sister Rhonda and Brother David and the family.
Amen.
Y'all continue to remember Barbara. She's doing better, but she's going to be getting an iron infusion on Tuesday, so that will help a lot, I'm sure.
That will
y'all remember Barbara.
God bless you.
Remember Barbara.
Remember Sister Kathy.
Remember Sister Kathy, yes.
Remember, my best friend passed away this week from high school and elementary school. Remember his wife, Becky Hallmark Dover, his wife.
Thank you. Okay.
That was Delane, Roger?
Pardon?
That was Delane?
Remember these loved ones that's lost family members. Anyone else? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Roger, can I call on you to pray for us again for these? We'll lift it up. Just lift them up in prayer, the ones we've mentioned.
Father, we turn to you this morning, Lord. Father, we turn to you with hopeful hearts and faith. We can be the people you would have us to be,
yes.
Do the things you would have us to do, Lord. For those things we be pray for our friends and families that are hurting or in need, Lord, we just ask that all these prayer requests that have gone up, Lord, that you would give the notions your way and your time. Lord, that you would just bless those families with your spirit and your presence. Lord, we just ask that you go with us, continue to be with us through the day. Brother Michaels, he stands before us to teach, and all the teachers, Lord, as they stand before their classes, and Lord, especially, we ask that you would just lift up Brother Steve. This is lot to bring the message today, Lord, that you will watch over here for the other in a mighty way. Lord, as we go through the revival this week, Lord, that you would lift up each and every man who would call to help us. If they feel the liberty and freedom to preach here in the way that you would have them to preach. Just be with us in everything we say and in these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We're going to take our classes now.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Y'all, help me out. I got to be on P's and Q's this morning. Big sister's here. Yeah.
It's a lot of stress.
It is, yeah. Good to see everybody's here this morning. We've got a really good chapter to study this morning, or probably not just this morning, 14th chapter of Romans. And my Bible says is kind of a heading for it, how to treat a weaker brother. But I'd like to expand it just a little bit. Remember our definition of legalism? Legalism. That's trying to make somebody else fit our rules, personally. Yeah. I want to kind of expand into that. Just when Christians have conscientious, different opinions about something. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about our fundamental beliefs here. If you're not going to believe Christ came and died and was resurrected, I can't deal with that, okay? But I'll give you some examples, some other things that, you know, some Christians will not eat out on Sunday. Some will. Okay? No doctrinal great or no great doctrine there either way, just a conscientious difference of opinion. I wrote another one down. I'll pick on myself. You guys know I have a bass boat. I love to fish. Or let's even do better than that. It's autumn. Beautiful day. Leaves are in full bloom. You can ride around in your car and look at them, but I can't take my boat up the river and look at them. Okay? You see where I'm coming from? Just, conscientious difference of opinion. Or,
I'll make this statement just quickly. When Uncle Jay would visit us, then Daddy and Uncle Jay would get into these huge discussions about the Bible. And one time, when Connie was still alive, she was there. And they let, and she thought that they were just really angry with each other. And
Intense. Okay.
Yeah. And before they left, before Uncle Jay left, him and Daddy were just talking regularly and come to see us. But they would get into these philosophical discussions about the Bible. You could learn a lot, but there was a lot of big difference of opinion there.
Okay.
You're setting yourself apart from the world, though.
Yeah. So,
I will expand on your boat there. When I was a little kid, which I loved fish, and we would never fish on Sunday. And I asked my dad one time, I said, why can't we fish on Sunday afternoon after church? And he says, we just don't do that. That was the answer. We just don't do that. And to this day, I'm 71 years old.
Yeah, but let me try to narrow it down, and I always pick on somebody, so I'll pick on myself this morning. Let's say where I live, I have about a 15-acre bass pond, and I've got some monsters in there. And it's Sunday afternoon, we don't have church that night, and I see them out there tearing it up. But I know my next-door neighbor, who's a young Christian, it'd be hard for him to handle. What do I do?
Leave it alone.
Do I say, well, he just needs to grow up? Or do I not go fishing that afternoon? And that's kind of the thought. We'll get into that more later. But I want to kind of set the stage. Now, Paul gives in this 14th chapter, he's discussing the issue of meat. And now that was a big deal. I was fortunate to have Deb this morning on the way to church. I asked her, I said, you know, I remember there's two things when we toured Israel I did not see. One was a casino, and the second was a barbecue restaurant. I never saw barbecue pork on a menu. Now, I did see barbecue veal or barbecue lamb ribs. You know, they use barbecue sauce, but not on pork. And I really, I just thought about that. I don't even remember seeing it on a menu or a buffet that we went to, even today. And I want to give a history lesson to kind of lead up. If you want to read it on your own, it's the 11th chapter of Leviticus, where the law, Moses receiving the law from God, talks about things that are clean and things that are unclean that they that the Israelites could eat. And what's another word for the clean ones? Kosher. Kosher. You say kosher salt? Well, that's salt that's clean. I guess they wash it. I don't know.
No, they pray over it.
They pray over it. Okay. But in the third verse, he talks about beast. And this is under the law. And he says, whatsoever parteth the hoof and, whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beast, that shall you eat. So there was two qualifications, cloven hoof, and they had to chew the cud. Okay? Everybody old enough out here to know what chewing a cud is, aren't we? What?
It's when you see your cows out there going,
they ain't got nothing.
They eat it, swallow it, and then later on, this time chew it up. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Okay. All right. So here are the beasts that the children of Israel could eat. Ox, sheep, goat, deer, gazelle, antelope, cattle, bison, and this one threw me, a giraffe was kosher. Now the unclean ones that they were forbidden to eat, a camel, a pig, rabbits, coyote, dog, fox, wolf, hyena, cat, tiger, lion, leopard, donkey, horse, and zebra. They were forbidden to eat those because they didn't meet either one or both of those qualifications. Okay? In the third verse of that 11th chapter, these shall you eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. So they could eat. And these lists aren't exhaustive, but they're the ones I will be familiar with. Bass, bluegill, carp, crappie, perch, pike, shad, trout, tuna, they were all kosher. You could eat those. Unclean. Catfish. Could not eat catfish. Or shark, or squid, or sturgeon, clam, crab, crawfish, mussel, oyster, scallop. Couldn't eat shrimp. No wonder they murmured in the wilderness. Couldn't have barbecue and shrimp, right? Catfish. Dolphin, otter, whale, and seal. They could not eat those. And on later he talks about the fowls. They could eat chicken, dove, duck, goose, grouse, pheasant, pigeon, quail. You knew quail was good, didn't you? Yeah. Sparrow, swan, teal, and turkey. They could not eat buzzards, condor, crane, crow, eagle, hawk, heron, loon, owl, pelican, penguin, raven, stork, vulture, woodpecker. And there are several thoughts about why. Well, the main reason is because God said so.
Well,
you know. But some people will say it was for health reasons. And I agree, if I eat a steak medium rare as opposed to eating a pork chop medium rare, I'm a lot less likely to get sick. But some say it was more of a philosophical thing. God didn't want his people eating the scavengers and the bottom dwellers and the ones that clean up. He wanted them to eat the best. I hate a buzzard. And Marilyn tells me, if it wasn't for buzzards, it'd be possums all over the road. So, you know, that all these animals God created to keep things cleaned up. So, for whatever reasons, and there's several. Maybe it was for health. Maybe it was just wanting them to eat the best. Now, Christ comes along, and he says, There's nothing that goes in that can defile a man, only what comes out. And Paul later says over in Timothy, nothing is to be forbidden as long as it's eaten with thanksgiving. Okay? So now, in this Roman church, here in Rome, you've got a situation. We won't call it a problem, we'll call it a situation. Here, Paul calls the ones that are still holding on to the Old Testament rule of what to eat and what not to eat, he's calling them the weaker brother. They haven't grown in grace enough to... I'm sorry, I left something out. Let me back up. Let's go. There was another problem with meat, and that was any kind of meat that had been offered to an idol.
Yes.
Some of the Christians, I'm not touching that. It was offered to an idol. Then there were some Christians that says, hey, an idol's a piece of stone. Looks like a good piece of meat to me. Okay? So, for a couple of reasons, there was the issue back and forth, I guess, of eat meat or not, or what kind of meat to eat. But I think we can take that in a much bigger realm than meat today. It's just a couple of things I mentioned. But the point of this chapter is, how do we handle that? Okay? Because I got news for you. Marilyn and I don't agree on everything. We almost been married 43 years, and I'm finding out more every day that we don't agree with each other, in the scriptures maybe even. But he calls the ones, Paul, he's talking here how to handle a weak brother. And in Paul's opinion, these that won't eat the meat that's been offered to an idol, or these won't eat the meat that was considered unclean in the Old Testament, he considered those to be weaker in the faith. And his starts out then, how to treat them? How to work that out? What's the best thing to do? Ma'am?
This just makes me think of something that the Lord really put on my heart. My daughter-in-law came in, and son from Tennessee, mm-hmm. this weekend, and she's a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on the big thing of the casserole with the baked spaghetti and mm-hmm. all that, and I know that I felt like the Lord was telling me, make everything vegetarian for her. Mm-hmm. Make her feel special. And so everything I did was vegetarian. And she came and we prayed and ate, and it just like it opened the door for us to share things about the Lord with her. It's just amazing, just something so small and just loving somebody just right where they're at. And
That can't walk as fast as you, or you just want to walk off and leave them in a crowd. Not if you love them, but they're your child, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do like Pam and I did. We tied our little girls up one time, our niece and my daughter, the leashes, because they were just bolting, they were fast. And so we just put leashes on them and strapped them to us, and we felt them jerk, we tried to pull them back. You know, they'd be just looking at you smiling. Next thing you know, you feel them jerking. They're gone. But you're not going to walk off and leave a child if you love them like that. And if you follow the scripture on in Leviticus later, and on in the 9th through even up into the 20s, God is still talking about blood and issues of blood and what's clean and not clean with the children of Israel. And you'll see in that that God was keeping them from spreading plagues, diseases, and all that through bloodborne pathogen, as well as making that spiritual, I don't want to get into it, the spiritual statement that he's making in that. It does, you can say it's either or, you can't really. You just say God knows all about it, he's covering everything as we go.
Yeah, yeah. Marilyn?
You know, that list we put on the refrigerator of this is what I've got to do to be a Christian, we might as well just throw it in the garbage can, because it's not about a list. It's about what we do. What Maggie was talking about, that scriptural, when we consider the other person ahead of ourselves. And you know, and I guess 1 Samuel, Samuel commanded Saul to destroy, you know, all of the cattle and everything when he went out to battle, and he didn't. And he said, I wanted to bring them back to sacrifice. And sacrifice was scriptural. It was a commandment. But Samuel said, God would rather you obey than sacrifice.
Right.
So it's what comes out of us. It's our attitude, how we treat other people is what God's looking at, not our preconceived ideas of that list on the refrigerator of what we should do and what we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Again, is a word that's real particular here. In the Bible, it said to not offend your brother.
So let me read now what Paul says. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, take him in. But not to doubtful disputations, but don't take him in to argue with them.
Yeah.
Don't take him in just so you can have a good fuss. Don't take him in to judge them. And I've always felt and believed if I can get them in church, Spirit will take care of those things. I don't have to. The Spirit will take care of those things. Yeah. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, and as Paul said, and obviously Paul was never shy about giving his opinion, was he? We can say that for sure. The other who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him.
So we're not either to contend or condemn him.
Yeah.
At what's left?
Well.
I'm sorry, Mom.
It's all right. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man, well, here's a good one. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you feel it's wrong for you to do it. Hold on to it. Yeah.
And is it not just as wrong for me to condemn somebody mm-hmm. else for doing it that it doesn't appear wrong for them?
Yeah.
I can't say, I don't do this so you don't do it.
Yeah. Well, what we're bad about saying is you can't do it because I don't do it. Right? Chris.
So it was a common phrase that I would hear when I was growing up sometime. To say if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I tell you, what I get from the scripture and what I've gleaned over time is that we are at different places in our spiritual journey, in our maturity. And I'm not near as mature as I should be. And for the time I've been Christian, but we're all at different places in that journey. And so I think that's why we're very careful about to, I use this example. my son-in-law that lives there close to me, he'd rather be on that lawnmower and the mow grass than anything in this. I mean, he's so, you know, would I say it was wrong for him to drive it up and down the road? No, I drive my car up and down the road. But so is it wrong at the time, at the point he engages the blade? Is that wrong? That's all between him and the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, what I did do is I went and talked to him and I said, as long as Mr. Barwick's living, we're not going to do this on Sunday. And we want to honor him. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, after Mr. Barwick's passed away, I'd be between you and the Lord. So he didn't anymore. But when Mr. Barwick passed away, I went back to Lord. So it's something he enjoys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm not going to fall out there. It's just we're at different places, and the Lord will show us Jesus and bring us along.
Yeah.
And Brother Michael it kind of goes back to the spec that's in our brother's eye, we have to get the beam out of our own, it kind of goes to that. But not only that, but if you're going to have friends, you've got to be able to accommodate the things that they like, as long as it's within the,
Sure.
And Blaine and I have friends that are totally, totally different from us. Not saying that's bad, but they're, I've got friends that know absolutely nothing about driving a screw into a piece of wood. They just couldn't do it. But they can tell you all about some other things that, and so I try to go along with what they like. I'm certainly, if I'm having conversation with them, I'm not going to ask them what they think about a plow on a tractor, but what they do for a living. So and some people are, if they're not just like me or just like you, we don't have a lot to do with them. And I think we ought to be able to maybe be versatile, I guess.
Yeah. Sure. And I'll reiterate, we're not talking about basic beliefs here.
Right.
Those we have to agree on to stay as a family. Okay. Sixth verse, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Well, looks like God got praised either way there, didn't he? Sure did. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Now, let's look at another scenario. We have a family join the church. They were raised pretty rough. They're going to make some mistakes.
Sure.
And we can stomp them, or we can be gracious and keep them growing, can't we?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that till they grow up a little bit and they realize a little better what's right and wrong. Go ahead, Maggie. I don't want you to bust.
I thought that was just wonderful.
Oh, okay. I thought you was about to bust to say something. Okay.
When I came to church, I tell you, God had a lot to deal with me. I had been to church, Sunday school, grandparents and things, but, I told y'all, if you'd have seen what I look like, that song says, if you could see where Jesus brought me from, you know why I love him so. Because he brought me from a long place and a hard place, and Kenneth too. I wouldn't have been somebody who would look like you would want to approach. I had gotten so far from what you call the established church, and But I know that when I walked in that church, I was loved. I felt so welcome. And when I left, I went home that afternoon and gave my heart to Jesus because the people just loved me just where I was. And I think about that young woman that came in, y'all, you know, y'all said she sat up there. I'm telling you, if we do that, all we've got to do is love the way Jesus loved and do it just the way he did. And that means he saw the heart. He didn't see the exterior. He looked right to the heart of the need. And if we do that as Christians, we're going to be the hands and feet and the voice of the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be. And I wouldn't be saved today, I believe, if the church had looked at the way I dressed. I basically looked like a witch. I mean, my nails were 2 inches long, painted black. I had rings on every finger. My hair was down to here. I had hip boots on. I mean, I was a rough-looking person when I walked in that door. I was not approachable-looking. I think I scared a few of them. Yeah, but we sat on the front row of all places. The young man that brought my friend out of church, and I tell you, I was sweating bullets. And then we went to Sunday school. That was even worse because we were in a small room, and there we were. You know, my friend was trying to hold me. She's looking at me like, "We got to get out of here." I mean, she was worse than I was, you know. But we sat there, and I remember that she had said something to the person who had been witnessing us before. She said, "Well, if anybody gets saved, it's not going to be her." I was talking about me. Because I had a foul mouth. I would say, if you said something to me I didn't like, I would cut you in a heartbeat. And I'll tell you, you know, the devil was on me, but Jesus' love conquers that.
Amen.
Love is stronger than that. And all I can tell you, when I went home and gave my heart to Jesus in my bedroom, it was real. It was between me and God. I knew I had been in his presence, and I didn't want to do anything to dishonor him. I looked in my closet. I didn't have doors on my closet, and all my clothes were inappropriate to wear, very inappropriate. And the first thing I felt like the Lord was telling me to do, Maggie, get rid of all those clothes. Well, I was down to one shirt and one pair of jeans. And one of the first miracles God ever did was a couple of days after that, a lady called and said, "I've got all these clothes that my daughter won't wear because they're just too conservative. And I got brand new clothes from Aylin's." I don't know if y'all remember what Aylin's was back then. And I got my hair cut. I went back to school, and nobody knew who I was. They thought I was a new student. Even my teachers, when I walked in, did not know who I was and changed what I did. But the Holy Spirit did the work. Because the people in the church loved me. It started with the love of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit told me things to do. He told me posters on my walls. The Lord just said, "Maggie, don't need those in here." I started tearing them down. And I remember one poster was of George Harrison, and he was into the Hare Krishna. And I tried to pull that poster, and I tried to pull that poster, and it's like something almost like a demonic thing is holding that poster on the wall. And I can remember looking at that poster and saying, "In the name of Jesus, you are coming down." And they ripped and put it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will guide the people once that you give them the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will do everything else. All we've got to do is show love. And I didn't even take so much time, I'm sorry. But I just think the church, when we see people coming in, I believe we're going to be the church by loving like Jesus. And I pray we fill this house with...
He's already done that, sister. He's already done that. God bless you.
The ones that nobody will touch.
Yeah.
I pray.
God bless her.
That we will have the love of Jesus.
Sure.
To love the ones that are walking the streets that nobody wants to touch. And I pray we'll be bold in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, "Jesus, send them here," because we're going to love them. We're going to love them just like they are. And we're going to trust you to do the work. And get them saved, Lord. We're just going to love them. And if we do that, this church will be packed because people are starving.
Sure they are.
So yeah. Hungry to be loved and just to be accepted and just know that they're loved.
God bless her heart.
Appreciate you, Sister Maggie.
Brother Michael, that's why there's commandment number one, isn't it?
Job one.
Job one. And I got to tell my big big boy and big girl business. We certainly do.
Yeah. Ever heard the phrase holier than thou? Yeah. Just a bit of a humor. I will never forget, and I don't know how long this would have been, my grandmother Arliss asked her one time, what did y'all do on Sunday afternoons? And this would have probably been in the early 1900s. She said, well, if it was summer, all the girls would go down to the river and go swimming. I'm like, because I heard so many things about what all was wrong on Sunday. And how that was 100 years ago. So, yeah. But I'll take this now on a little more serious note. You know, one of the jobs of the deacons is to make sure what's preached behind this book board is truth. Okay? I would have a pretty long rope for a young minister. He'd have to get way off in left field because I don't want to tear him down.
Amen.
Might talk to him after the service in private, but I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not, because he's weak. He's growing. Now, if this guy goes crazy, I'm going to tell him, shut up and sit down. He knows it. There you go. That's right. I text him often, tell him, especially if, like the last time I was in Florida, I said, don't get out of the book this morning, preacher. So I keep him in. He's not too bad. But a young minister, I'd have to cut him some slack to not hurt him, to not knock him down. Yeah. So anybody else on this? We are out of time. We'll get further. But I think Brother Bobby gets the apple today for his example. Would we run off and leave our kids because they're walking slower?
No, I'll add one thing on that.
Sure.
I don't think the revelation to me was Jesus is in my Father's house or being around. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When you step into the Father's house, that's the one that being around. When you honor Him and when you serve Him, He'll lead you to another. Another. There's always a deeper walk.
Sure.
There's always more that's accomplished. Some people, as newborn Christians, they're just in the door. What a wonderful thing to come into the Father's house. But when we serve and when we give in the Word, we pray and we study, Father always has another realm for us to reveal to us, to show us His wonder and His glory. And that's the walk that we have to remember with people. Not everybody's in the same room, but that's okay. We're all in the Father's house.
That room to grow, isn't it, brother? And that's, you know, that's why, I mean, not why, but there was seven letters to seven churches because they were in different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll end it with a little song. He's still working on me. Yeah.
But Mark Oliver in Matthew, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on down and he says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones. And I'm not sure right there if he's just talking about the little bitty ones. He's probably talking about the young church members, the young converts, because he just mentioned you have to be, but he said, but whosoever offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he would drown in the depths of the sea. But he don't want us to offend these new Christians. He don't want us to use a hammer on them.
Yeah.
He wants us to use compassion. And whatever he's given us through the years to help them through a hard spot or help them through a questionable spot. It's not for us to slam a door. It's for us to say, come on in here, let's talk about this.
Yeah. As parents, we train up our children. A church will train up the new convert. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they are the children, they are the young ones. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Maybe the young ones would be better. Even if they're 40, 50, 60 years old, they could still be a child in the Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else? I'm done.